is the LA Shore. It's written by, well, yeah, it was written by Rivaldi, who was the great Mashkia of the past generation. And basically, he writes in the introduction that, first of all, what is the word, what does the Ali Shur mean? Okay, that's what it's called, Ali Shur. Why is it called Ali Shur? Not Ali Shore, but Ali Shur. Why is that? So he's actually quoting a pasuk. The pasuk says, Ben Porat Yosef, Ben Porat Ali Ayin, Benot Sa'ada Ali Shur. Ali Shur, Ala Choma. Okay, so it's a pasuk by Yosef Etzarek. It's a funny, it's a very funny pasuk, but it says that when Yosef, the Rashi explains that pasuk, is that when Yosef would go out into the town in Mitzrayim, when he was the viceroy, so we know that Yosef was a very good-looking guy, and it says that the girls of Mitzrayim would climb on top of the wall in order to get a glimpse of Yosef. Okay, that's what they would do. Oh, no, I'm Yosef. It's you. It was you. It was you that they were trying to get a glimpse of. Nice. So, it's a funny thing, right? It's interesting, whatever. But Rivaldi explains why he called the Sefer that. He called the Sefer that because basically what he was saying is that after the Holocaust, so let's say before the Holocaust, it used to be that there would be great Talmid Chachamim in every village, in every hamlet, there would always be great Gedolim that were there. The Rav of the town in Europe usually was a great Gaon, a great Rav, a great Tzaddik. And so the people, the average person, always had access to see and to experience what it was like to be a true Talmid Chacham, to be a Ben Torah. And that was lost in the Holocaust. That was lost. All the whole community structure. Yeah, of course there were Rabbanim that survived, but to have great Talmid Chacham just walking around in your average street, it got lost until the point where, okay, the great Rosh Yeshivas and the Gedolei Ador, they were tzaddikim and great Talmid Chachamim, but it wasn't so accessible anymore. And he says how that's a tremendous loss because you cannot really taste what it means to be a Ben Torah without experiencing it and seeing somebody who acts in such a way. And so what he's trying to do in the Sefer is to try to give us, he's trying to, and the way he describes, it's so very poetic, but he's describing how like the olam of the Torah, you say, is like surrounded by a wall. You can't just get into that oilam. You need to work hard and you need to have somebody bring you in it, bring you into that world. And that's what it means to be Mishamish Talmid Chacham. You have to have that access point of being close to Talmid Chacham to bring you into that olam Torah. And so he says that what he's doing in the Sefer is he's trying to get us up on the wall. He can't bring us in if we're not his Talmidim, but he's trying to take us up on the wall, on top of the wall that's surrounding the Olam Torah, so we can get a peek. So we can get a peek in. We can look in and see what's going on. That's what he's trying to do. So that's why he named the Sefer Ale Shur. Shur means a wall. And Ale means to go up on the wall. Okay, so that's why he called it. So I figured we'll do this piece. It's about Limud Gemara. I don't know how long we'll spend on it, but and then maybe we'll do something more focused on Shavuos. But for now, the first parak in the Sefer is called Limud Gemara, learning Gemara. Okay, and he says like this: the Midrash in Tehillim Kuf Yatet, it says as follows: Lule Tayrascha Shashuai Amri Yisra. Okay, so it says in the pasuk: Lule Tayrascha Shashuai. If it wasn't for your Torah, Az Avarti Ve'Oni. Right? It's a famous song. You guys know the song? No, you don't know this one? All right. It's Carl's song from a long time ago, I guess. Anyway, so the words of the puzzle mean, if it weren't for the Torah, that is my shashua. Shashua literally means a toy or my delight. If it wasn't for the Torah, that like kept me going, I would have as avarati ba'ani, I would have been lost a long time ago in my poverty, like my struggles, in my travails that have come on me. If it wasn't for the Torah keeping me going, I would have been gone a long time ago. That's what the pasuk means. That's what David HaMelech is saying. So the Midrash says as follows: Amru Yisrael. Yisrael says to Yisrael, like Klai Yisrael say, Ilule Toiras Hashayas Aimi. If it weren't for the Torah that was with me, Vehisha Ashuai, and it's my delight or my toy, Azavariti Boni, then I would have been lost in my travails. Vechein Moshe Omer. And so to also Moshe says in Tehillim, Sarapai Bikirbi. My forebodings or my worries are inside of me. La'olam lo eshkach pikudecha, forever I won't forget your commands. Heim chayim liYisrael. They are the life of Israel. Ilulehi, if it weren't for them, lo ayachayim, there would be no life. Kamamara ukemosha omrim ki hi chayecha. It's like what we say, that the Torah is our life. Ksiv ki motzei motza chayim. That one who finds Torah finds life. So what is it saying? What did the Midrash say? No, I mean, what did it say? Okay, right. Without Torah, we wouldn't have life. Torah is life. The truth is that we say this every night. You say this every night? You say this every night? Where? In Mark, right? Where? What do you say there? Yeah. Chukim mishpatim tan limarta. No. What are the next words? Yaakov Mishum Menachem. Do you declare every night that Torah is your life? When? Where? What do you say? Before that. No. Wait, you're in Shachar's or in Mar? No, keep going. What? Say louder. Kehem chayenu v'orech. I mean, you say it every single night. Every single night, you declare that the words of Torah are your life. Yaakov Moshe Menachem, did you ever notice that? He did not notice that. That's where it comes from him. That's what him where it comes from, yeah. That's what we say every single night in chakras. So, I mean, Stam, I think we have to ask ourselves a question. Are we lying to God when we say that? Huh? Some of us are. Ouch. Whoa. Wow. GP, those are harsh words. Harsh words. Kehem chayinu v'yorech emeinu. Right? The Torah is our life. Okay, so what the Midrash basically said was just quoting different psukim that say the same thing. And the Midrash is saying that. Okay, so he says like this now. Torah, this is now not the Midrash, this is revolving. Torah in ena kishara mitzvos. Torah is not like other professions. Mitzvah b'bocher lo kol echad kipi netiyato kishirno. A profession, everybody needs to choose a profession based on what they like to do, what they're talented at. That's what you choose. That's how you choose a profession. But Torah, when it comes to Torah, ilulehi lo ayachayim. If it wasn't for Torah, there'd be no life. It's not like you choose what's convenient. You need to have Torah. There's no life without Torah. Tirei Yisrael shezachu l'lmot Torah, the youngsters of Israel who are zochet to learn Torah. They should not found their Torah. The Torah should not be the foundation of their learning. Should not be because they desire Torah. They like learning Torah. Ela alechrea haTorah. Rather, it should be based on the necessity of Torah. But Doros HaKon Kedumim, in earlier generations, Yadak Kol Yehudi, every Jew knew, Ki Ilulehi Lo Ayachayim, that if it weren't for Torah, there would be no life. Every Jew knew that. But Kulam Lamdu, and everybody learned. There's stories about the simple people, the simple, you know, the not really so much farmers, because they weren't allowed to own land in Europe. What? The shoemaker and then okay, you know, I don't have to go on to like romanticize stories of 8 hours a day, but every single shul and every single hamlet had after Maariv or before Shacharis or after Shacharis, they had a group that got together. They learned Ein Yankov. Ein Yankov is the same as not learned today. Nobody learns Ein Yankov anymore. Do you even know what Ein Yankov is? Do you know what Ein Yankov is? Ein Yaakov used to be a sefer that was in every single base midrash, every single shul would have this sefer, several copies, and every single day after Maariv, they would give them out and they would learn it. What is it? You know what Ein Yaakov is? Ein Yaakov is a collection of all the gadatas of Shas. It leaves out all the heavy, halachic, it's like the opposite of the Rif. The Rif left out all of the non-halachic sections. The Ein Yaakov collected all of the Gadato, all the stories, all of the Musar, all of the, you know, that kind of stuff. All of that he collected into this sefer called the Ein Yaakov. He wrote a little commentary on the side, like there's Rashi on the side of it also, and there's also like he wrote a little bit of a, just a little bit just like to be able to make it understandable. Every single day they would sit and they would learn Ein Yaakov. They're learning Shas. They wouldn't learn all the, you know, difficult Gemaras. We're talking about simple people, people that don't have the great brains to be able to figure out all the difficult sugyas and Shas. But they would learn what they could learn. It was Pashit. It was Pashit. Every community had this. It was built into the Jewish people. But Doreinu Anu, but in our generation, Rak Mateis Mispar Yodim. Only a few people understand and know about the obligation and the necessity to learn Torah. But this komet, this handful of youngsters that sanctify their time, they give up their time, they sacrifice their time for limud Torah. They are the real representatives of Klal Yisrael, of the true Klal Yisrael. They are the only ones. Hu ameyatzeg et am haTorah. They are the ones that represent the nation of Torah. Bezeh hatzair shezocha liyos b'makom Torah, and that youngster that zocha to be in a place of Torah, meaning what? What's a place of Torah? A yeshiva? Al yechshov, don't think. Don't think that in quotes he chose for his profession, he chose the school of Torah, the professional school for Torah. That his talents and his inclinations brought him to this profession. Don't think such a thing. Like other youngsters chose other professions. Chas v'shalom. That's not why we're here, because we chose to be in the profession of Torah because it's what our talents, it's where our talents lie and things like that. No. Ha'emesi, the truth is, ki ilulei Torah ein chayim. If it's without Torah, there's no life. V'chreach yuni l'limu Torah. And the necessity, the life necessity. There's a better word for this. Something you can't live without, like air. What is air? Life necessity. Something better, I think, no? I don't know. Okay, anyway. The life necessity of learning Torah is envelops, it's spread out on all, every single individual of Klal Yisrael. Achesheg bo yavo, the desire to learn Torah will come also. That also, life source. No, it's more like necessity, but there's like, I don't know, there's a better word for it. I'm blanking, I don't know. But he's saying that the cheshek will come. Cheshek yavo, bezrat Hashem, the cheshek will come. If a person puts enough of himself into learning and he tries hard enough, the desire will come, right? You'll enjoy it. But the beginning of learning is not because you're enjoying it. It's because you need to. It's a necessity. You have to learn. What's the difference? Practical difference. What's the practical difference between whether you're learning because you desire to or because you have to? What's the difference? What do you guys say? What would you say? Naim. Naim, what do you say? What do you say? What? If you enjoy it. If you enjoy it, that's enough, Gamina? Practical difference. I have two guys. Two guys are coming to me. One of them is learning. I ask them. I sit down in an interview. I sit down with them and I say, why do you want to learn Torah? One of them tells me, because I have to learn Torah. Without learning Torah, I have no life. The other one tells me, I have to learn Torah because I love learning Torah. What's the practical nafka mina between those two guys? How they learn? Explain. Why they learn is not a practical difference, though. And practically, what's going to be the difference? Torah lishma, by the way, Torah lishma, this is not a bad thing. To say that a person wants to learn because he loves learning, it's not bad. That's actually very good. That's called Torah lishma. That's Torah lishma. When we say that you should learn Torah lishma, that's the highest level. That's what it means. It means to learn because you enjoy learning. So that's not a bad thing. We're not trying to say that that's bad. He's just saying that there has to be an element beforehand of acknowledging that this is my life, and without that, I can't go on. So what's the practical difference? Noam, what were you going to say? What's the practical difference? Again, that's not a practical difference. That's in the brain somewhere. Lamaisa, what's going to be the difference? What? Maybe how hard they learn, right? If you understand that this is a matter of life and death, you're going to learn a lot more seriously. Good. JP, what do you say? What's another nafka mina? They appreciate their learning. Okay. It'll give them a sense of fulfillment, you're saying? A sense of appreciation. Okay. What do you say? Hananya yantav lipa. What do you say? Okay, to know what we're here to do, to have purpose in life. Okay, very nice. Such as information. Oh, kilodav areku mikem. Very good. Okay. Okay, let's see what he says. He says, what's the difference if a person is learning because he desires to or because he feels that he needs to, he has to? If we learn because we have to, so then when our desire to learn becomes weaker, or it even runs out completely. Sometimes it can happen. It can happen. A person loves learning, but he goes into a rut. It happens that sometimes a person just goes into like a down, and he no longer has a desire to learn. But if you're learning because you know that you must, because that's your life, then you won't let that weakness dominate you. Because you're coming from that recognition that you know that this is absolutely necessary that you learn. To learn and to be delving into Torah. And because without Torah, there's no life. Cheshek, a desire for learning, is a feeling, it's an emotion. Sometimes even a little thing, it could go away. Our emotions are very fickle, right? You could be happiest guy, you wake up in the morning, you're the happiest guy, just like, you know, you like JP every day, you know, walks in with a big smile every day, Baruch Hashem, right? You can wake up in the morning feeling like $1 million. You stub your toe on something that you left on the floor, and that's it. Your mood disappears. Emotions are fickle. They're here 1 second, they totally change the next. And vice versa also. Vice versa. You wake up in the morning grumpy. You wake up with a sour face. And then, you know, you look over and you see JP, and you just smile. You're like automatically like, wow, I feel like $1 million. Just like that. You know? Emotions are very fickle. They're very, very, they change, but they change in the blink of an eye. The difference, what he's saying is the practical difference between a person who's learning because he likes learning, and a person who learns because he feels that he absolutely must learn. The difference is when he doesn't want to learn, when he doesn't feel like it, when he's not down. How many times do we say, I'm not down? I'm not down. What do you mean you're not down? This is life. This is your life. Without this, you don't have life. If I recognize that, then it doesn't matter if I'm not down. I'm still going to do it. I'm still going to do it. I have to do it. I have to. And that's a huge difference. That's a huge difference. All right, we'll stop with that.